The education of black children has been a priority of enslaved Africans since they first arrived in New York City.
Education for enslaved Africans meant freedom both to escape enslavement and to provide practical and literary skills to have more leverage in surviving the colonial environment.
A report from the Civil Rights Project at UCLA shows the New York public school system is facing one of the largest education disparities in the nation, where child preparation is deeply unequal, and many wealthy, majority white areas benefit from having far greater financial resources.
Hi, I'm Haya Panjwani.
And I'm Jalen Green. The City Was Black is a six-part audio series exploring what it means to live in New York.
And how the city has evolved through the point of view of what it means to be black in New York City right now.
We're at a critical point in New York history. And as you'll learn throughout the podcast, the city would not be the rich melting pot of cultures it is right now without the contributions of black people.
There isn't a single issue in the city right now that doesn't impact black people, whether that's immigration, housing, or education. The future of New York City will depend on how black communities and other minorities survive in the city.
Last episode, we talked about how black-led music, fashion, dance, and art molded the city, and how it still shapes the culture today. This time, we're talking about how the traditional school setting has not been equipped to deal with all the challenges these students are facing today. Black children began learning in the early Dutch periods when African free schools were made.
As time went by, more schools were popped up, with the first African free school in Brooklyn opening in 1827. These schools operated separately from what later became the New York City public school system. And by the mid-1800s, African free schools joined the fold.
But black and brown students were still separated into schools with less resources.
By the mid-1900s, the Federal Housing Authority reinforced residential segregation through redlining, a practice that systemically graded neighborhoods on a scale with lower ratings given to communities with higher shares of black and brown residents.
Aaron Pallas is a professor of sociology and education at Teachers College, Columbia University.
New York City historically has been highly segregated residentially, both along racial and ethnic lines and social class lines. And what that meant is that there's a lot of segregation across the 32 community school districts by race, ethnicity, and social class. But even within the 32 community school districts, there can be a fair amount of segregation across the schools at the elementary and middle school level in particular.
After Brown v. Board of Education in 1954, it took a long time for schools throughout the country to actually start school districts that actively desegregated.
In New York, many Black and Puerto Rican students experience overcrowded schools with more substitutes, inexperienced teachers, and lower academic outcomes. In the spring of 1968, Black and Puerto Rican parents organized strikes for better schools for their children.
Organizations such as the Alliance for Quality Education, or AQE, formed to protect the equal rights children have towards education by training parents to take these concerns to the state level.
In 1993, a lawsuit brought by parents argued that New York State schools' financing system was unconstitutional because it severely underfunded New York City public schools and denied students their constitutional right to a sound basic education.
Julia Watson is the communications director for AQE.
But in 2006, they sided with the parents
who had filed that lawsuit, said, the state needs to fund public schools at a certain level in order for kids to have their constitutional right to an education be met. And then the recession happened, of course, not long thereafter. So there was a commitment to funding schools, and then that commitment just fell by the wayside.
Now in present day, schools are still segregated, and this is affecting people, like teachers. Sydney King has been teaching at South Brooklyn Community High School for 24 years.
My goal is always to try and interrupt the cycles that bring them here.
Can you explain what that means?
So, they often will write their stories and they'll complain about the teachers who didn't care, right? I get paid whether you learn or not. So I've been listening to that story for 23 years, and I just want to keep being the teacher that cares no matter what, to interrupt that story they tell themselves.
Because of the area's lack of adequate resources, both inside and outside of school, many Black and brown students lack, and students in low-income neighborhoods are bringing high levels of trauma and financial stress with them, affecting their ability to learn.
And when educators aren't seeing these needs, it's only pushing children further behind.
You have no idea when you meet a kid what their future is going to be. And you can't, it doesn't have a pattern. And there's, you know, there's kids that drive me crazy and miss school for a year or 2 years. And then all of a sudden they have an epiphany and they come back and they're working super hard. They're my best student now. And I see that so often. And it just, everybody has their own life. And I think the thing that we do so much is try and over control teenagers.
Community boards hold meetings to address these challenges, working to support children and help connect them with the resources they need to access strong educational opportunities, including college.
Good Shepherd Services in New York is a nonprofit that supports young people and families in under-resourced neighborhoods through education, youth development, and family support programs.
Traquan Becca is the Director of Career Connections at Good Shepherd Services. He attended South Brooklyn and told us about the program they have with mentorship and internship.
And a lot of the students don't come to school because of because they have to work, right? So, you know, how do we, like Rachel said, how do we engage them to come? I think another layer of it is really just making sure that, you know, we are. It's not only the fact that they have struggles gaining employment or choosing employment over school, right? It's also, do they have the skills, right, to sustain the work? And the Learn to Work program is not only providing jobs, but it's also like doing that wraparound work to where we're teaching skills, right?
But more work needs to be done.
To recap, Black people have been in New York since the early Dutch period, turning their struggle into a strong community that lies the foundation of what makes New York what it is today. Building communities that brought culture across five boroughs despite displacement, racism, and erasure.
We followed Carmen Daniels, who moved from Guyana to New York in the 1980s and learned about her struggle to find housing in one of the most expensive cities.
Went to churches and mosques to talk to religious leaders about how faith institutions in New York had provided community and survival strategies in the face of displacement and economic instability.
Learned how the rise of Black political power grew out of church basements and community organizing into lasting influence at the city and state level.
Heard how Black dance, art, and fashion shaped the cultural narratives of the city and the world.
And saw how the fight for Black education began during the early Dutch period and continues to be a fight for equal resources and providing brighter futures for their children.
The problems that face Black people are felt amongst the many kinds of people in the city, and Black people are but one of the many lenses by which to understand how New York became what it is today.
As the city continues to evolve, it'll be based on how communities, old and new, can work together to combat the many challenges the city has in building a brighter future.
This is This City Was Black with your host, Haya Punjwani, and me, Jalen Green. This series is produced with guidance from AP Managing Editors Ron Vample and Aaron Morrison. Special thanks to our guests and contributors, Aaron Palace, Catherine Hill with the Research Alliance for New York City Schools, Sydney King and the faculty and staff at South Brooklyn Community High School, Traquan Becca, Rachel Forsyth, and all those at Good Shepherd Services, and Julia Watson with the Alliance for Equality Education.
Thanks for listening. For more stories about race and ethnicity, visit apnews.com.